You're listening to AVR, the American Voice Radio Network. We're on free-to-air KU band satellite at Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, frequency 11836 vertical, with symbol rate 20.770, PID left audio channel. Visit our website at theamericanvoice.com.
Good day. Welcome, America. Tom Donahue, Freethinker on the American Voice Radio Network. This is going to be a very special program. Much of what I have to say, I'm not sure what I'm going to say or how I'm going to say it and exactly where it comes from. I can tell you it's coming from my heart and my spirit and my soul. And I have some announcements that I will refer to in Wikipedia. But let me just tell you something. My mentor, that's right, my mentor was Eustace Mullins. You've heard me say many times, if somebody can tell me how to contact Eustace Mullins, now I'd have to ask Jesus Christ and God Almighty, Yahweh Yeshua, because that's where he is right now. Eustace Mullins is the foremost, it's sort of like a, if you ever heard that wrestling analogy of Bret Hart, which many of you probably had, and you don't have to be a wrestling fan. The best there was, the best there is, and the best there always will be. That's what Eustace Mullins is to the Patriot Freedom Constitutional Movement. There is nobody, and I mean nobody, that was more qualified, more talented, and contributed more to the Patriot Freedom Constitutional Movement than Eustace Mullins. Eustace Mullins has endured so much pain and suffering in his life, personally, professionally, etc. But he has passed on, and I'm going to give you the details as I know it. But you know, in his final days, he was still out touring, trying to tell people the truth, still trying to wake people up. This man has had numerous organizations, not just governmental, but so-called patriot profiteers, that have republished his books without Mr. Mullins receiving a dime. He finally had to go the self-publishing route because either he had mainstream publishers or quasi that were ripping him off, or he had patriot publishers that either ripped him off or would just say, hey, let's take the book and we'll produce our own galleys and print the book and have P.O. boxes and offshore accounts, launder the funds and collect the money, and Eustace Mullins receives nothing. So when Mullins finally tracked down some of the culprits, they said, hey, well, at least you're getting the recognition. Hey, at least we're promoting your book. Hey, we're promoting freedom. Hey, it's all for the cause. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Well, I helped Eustace Mullins on several occasions. Matter of fact, there was the Southwest Radio Church out of Oklahoma that owed him $8,000. This was back in 1986. I said, $8,000? He said, well, I trusted them. They were Christian. They said they'd pay me. I said, oh, they're going to pay you. We're going to make sure of that. And so I had to hammer them. I had to pressure them. And finally, this man got his money. But they just figured Eustace Mullins was a gentle soul. I mean, his words were piercing. I mean, he had, it was more his written word, but he became a pretty good public speaker over time. Now, let me tell you, when A.J. Lowry from the Justice Times in 1985 contacted me and said, hey, Tom, I know you have this American Liberty Group, and Eustace Mullins has been kind of a recluse. You know, we all know of his book, Secrets of the Federal Reserve, and the latest breaking book, The World Order, and countless, thousands of articles. Most of them he published under his name. Some of them, for safety and security's sake, they were under pen names. He said, Do you think you could help me out? Do you think you could help sponsor Eustace Mullins in Dallas? He's going to come to Arkansas, and you know, and of course Dallas is a bigger market, and you know, I'm trying to make contact with others too. So I said, absolutely. I mean, I jumped on that thing. I mean, right away. Now, if I sound a little broken up, it's because this guy was like a father figure to me. You know, a mentor. We kept in touch while I was in forced exile in Allenwood. He could hardly write. He had had numerous strokes, and he still would try to type something out or write something out to me. While he had his phone, he would take my calls. Now, I paid for the calls because I didn't know what his financial, and I generally didn't ask anyone to pay for a collect call. And he really tried to keep my spirits up. I have so many memories of Eustace Mullins and, 2 decades of experiences with this man. He was the only guest, I'm telling you, the only guest that I ever had on 4 national networks that always got the highest ratings, that always got the highest interest level, that profoundly changed every listener that listened to what he had to say. And he's the only one that every time I had a Four Concerned Americans conference or rally, Eustace Mullins was part of it. Nobody said, why is Eustace coming back? So if we had 5 speakers, Eustace was always there. You know that Eustace never, ever asked me for an honorarium. He said, if you can help pay my expenses and I can sell the books, that's all I ask. He said, I just want to help save America. Yeah, unlike Lindsay Williams, unlike a lot of others that said, oh, I need to be put up in the best hotels and the best, I have special diet and special needs and special meals. No, Eustace Mullins said, hey, just put me in, well, try not to make a flea bag hotel or motel, but, you know, whatever you can afford. So generally we try to put Eustace, my office was on Central, the Central Freeway there on Highway 75 in Dallas, and so it was at Central Park. Keystone Park was the business complex. And there was this La Quinta hotel that was right next door. I said, well, Eustace, if I put you really close by there, we can get together and have, you know, we can eat, you know, we can have several, you know, meals together. We can, you know, I can hang out with you before heading back to my apartment, to home. So I remember fondly back in having many, many conversations with him to tell him that, hey, you know, this our organization is legitimate, that, you know, we're going to work very hard to make this a success, you know, that, and I said, and I'm going to have you schedule many radio and TV programs. He goes, yeah, right. Who's going to want to listen? Who's going to allow you in the establishment media, the controlled media, to listen? Who's going to interview me? I've had to do it through all the alternative publications. You know, if anything I got mentioned in the media, it's I'm being branded as this or that. I said, no, I've already have a couple scheduled. He said, really? So of course I can appreciate his cynicism and skepticism. I mean, he had 4 decades where he had been maligned and abused and undervalued. So I said, okay. I said, well, I'll just have your itinerary ready when you're here and I'll be driving into the various studios. He said, okay. All right. Fair enough. So Eustace Mullins comes in. It's the first time I ever saw him. And this was, my recollection is, was the end of, it was like the very beginning of 1986. Our conversation started like around November of 85. And at that time, you know, we were carrying his books, Secrets of the Federal Reserve and the World Order, in our American Liberty bookstore. And he gets off the plane and he has all these plaids and zigzag outfits. I mean, it looked like I was going to go blind. And I said, oh, my gosh. I said, Eustace, I hope you have a suit or something other than this to wear. I said, this is pretty far out. You look like you're at some kind of hippie commune in Berkeley, California. He said, oh, no, just travel comfortably. No, I got a suit. Oh, okay. And his hair was kind of long, and it was, you know, he looked a little bit unkempt. And so I found out, you know, he was this artist, you know. He was a bohemian type. He was someone that when he went to some of the best colleges, he was a brilliant student. And, you know, you're going to find out more from this program today. This is 2 hours of tribute to Eustace Mullins. If you don't want to know about the man who had made the most profound difference in this patriotic freedom-loving movement, who was the single most dominant force to expose the Federal Reserve System known to mankind. I mean, he was way ahead of the times. He was the trailblazer. He was the predominant crusader. Do you know that J. Edgar Hoover called him the most dangerous man in America because of his writings? Yeah, that's what he found out in his 800-plus Freedom of Information request. That's what J. Edgar Hoover thought, that he was the most dangerous man in America. Well, Senator McCarthy asked Eustace Mullins to find out who, he asked him, he said, can you write a speech for me? Well, two things happened with his dealings with Senator McCarthy. And, you know, you always hear this McCarthyism. And McCarthy, you know, at that time, he didn't hire all the best researchers, but Eustace Mullins was one of them. He said, I need to know who's behind this Federal Reserve System. You know, you've written about this. Can you get to the bottom of this for me? And I have a speech to give in Chicago, Illinois. I think it was called the Commerce Club, but whatever the club was. So Eustace Mullins wrote the speech, and he delivered the speech. Well, that is when Senator McCarthy was blackballed. They went to him and said, back off. Do not take on the Federal Reserve System. Eustace Mullins was let go from the staff. That's right. He wrote Mullins on the Federal Reserve in 1952, it kind of was updated to some degree, but then it was renamed Secrets of the Federal Reserve in 1982. The World Order, he said there's nothing new about it. People want to call it the New World Order, but it's nothing new. It's been here. You know, it's been dynastic. I mean, you can trace the genealogy. You can trace the historical roots of these families. Whether you call them the black nobility, but Eustace Mullins is the most dominant force, or was, and still, and will continue to be, in the freedom, patriot, constitutional movement. And I pity you, and I say this with all due respect, or as Obama would say, all due deference. If you don't know who Eustace Mullins is, type in his name at Google, go to Wikipedia. We have videos of Eustace Mullins. I don't have any of his books for sale, and I'm not here to make money off this. But his books are available on lots of the patriot sites, whether the legitimate sites or not. But hey, the books are worth the money. But he's written many other books, but I want to stay more focused on his work as it relates to the Federal Reserve and naming the names. He's the only guest, the only speaker that I've ever had that I ask a direct question, and I always got a direct answer. Now, I like Ralph Ebers, and I have respect for Ralph, but I asked him several times during the last interview, name the names, who's at the top, and we went to something that related to the Brotherhood of Light. You know, that's not what I was looking for. But again, I'm looking for the truth. Eustace Mullins, in his speeches, and I interviewed him at least once a month, sometimes more than that, for the entire 2 hours on the program America's Town Forum. I have some of those tapes. Unfortunately, I don't have them all, and we're still trying to find them. And we may put together a tape series or put them up on the archives, but I can't think about that right now. But Eustace Mullins talked about a Council of Five, a Council of 13. It's all before people came out with books, Council of 300 and all this stuff. Every single writer, whether they gave due credit or not, read his books, read his articles, and they used him. Sometimes they gave proper attribution. Sometimes they just act like he didn't exist. But I'm telling you, whether it's Bill Cooper, G. Edward Griffin, Ralph Epperson, you name the names, and all their books were inspired, and much of the material that was in there came in part or in large part from Eustace Mullins. You know, even Lindsay Williams' little companion books, he tried to take as much as he could from Eustace. That's fine. As long as you quote them, as long as you footnote it, as long as you give proper credit. But he is the dean of the conspiratorial research in this country. Before there was a conspiracy theory, Eustace Mullins was exposing it. There is no greater force that put the spotlight on the families and the organizations that have helped to destroy the freedom of the peons, as the New World Order or the World Order would say, the peons on the plantation. Yeah, that's right. The planetary plutocrats see us as peons on the plantation. I am telling you that this man was the real deal. Yeah, he said some things at times that were controversial, some things taken out of context, some things that, you know, whether it be lineage or blood roots or whatever. But as time went on, he realized it went beyond any ethnicity or race or blood roots, and that it really was more spiritual and satanic. And Jesus talked about in the book of Matthew. And Eustace had many, many fans that were Jewish. So he was not anti-Jewish. He was anti-Zionist. He was anti-communist, anti-socialism, socialist. He was certainly anti-democracy. He believed in our republic. He believed in the founding fathers, and he resisted the controversy that all the founding fathers were corrupted. And anybody that tells you that all the founding fathers are corrupted, they're corrupted. That's my view. That's my take, and I'm holding to it. They were not. Yeah, there were some. That's like saying every Mason is satanic. No, there's some that joined for fraternal reasons. You know, it's still not the you know, there now is enough information that they should know better. But hey, but let me tell you, there is no, you know, I'm a little choked up here, and I hope you understand. I mean, this man had such a profound effect on me. Matter of fact, let me tell you, going back into history here, do you know that none dare call it a conspiracy? I saw the letter from Barbara Allen. Barbara Allen talked about the co-author of that book and how he stole the rights to it, and Gary was very sick, and then reprinted it in a hardbound book. And I forget what the Zionist co-author was, but he definitely did everything he could to hurt Gary Allen, who really was the original writer. And so if you see a book out there that does not have Gary Allen's name on it, and I forget who the other slime, I mean, he really was. I mean, this guy is wretched scum. But let me just tell you. So Gary Allen, I wrote to Gary, and I guess Gary at that time had passed on. And so Barbara wrote this beautiful letter that she said, make sure Eustace Mullins gets a copy of this. And said that he was such an admirer of Eustace, and relied heavily. It was his primary research source and inspiration to write None Dare Call It a Conspiracy. And guess what book was the first book that yours truly was influenced by? Well, actually, second book. Let me take that back. But in terms of the conspiracy research, it was None Dare Call It a Conspiracy. My first book was Erwin Schiff and his book Exposing the IRS and Taxes. So that came a year earlier. But that book led me to, as a matter of fact, let me tell you an interesting story. Dr. Mike Ritz, who is a United States congressman from Broken Arrow, a suburb of Tulsa, Oklahoma, is a current United States congressman. Now, he may not want to talk about this, or maybe he will, but he was a chapter leader of the John Birch Society. Yeah, he was. I don't know if that's in his resume. I don't know if he talks about it. Now, I saw that as kind of kindergarten and kind of, you know, writing letters to your congressman and about, you know, Chinese goods being sold in Kmart. Okay, fine. Yeah, it's going to take me a long way. I needed something more radical. I needed something more revolutionary. I needed something hands-on. And so the tax movement was something in combination with the Freedom Patriot issues that relate to conspiracy view of history is what turned me on. So I went to a couple of meetings because, matter of fact, well, the way I met this doctor was I had a job at that time in college textbook publishing. And, I knew quite a bit about politics and, you know, of course, with the tax issues and Erwin Schiff and all. So, I mean, God has his hand on things that sometimes we just have no idea. I mean, it's sometimes beyond us. And if we keep open minds and hearts and allow for the Spirit to move us, and move in ways that are righteous and moral and ethical, you just never know what kind of contribution you can make. So anyway, someone said, oh, this Dr. Ritz, who's a medical doctor, an MD, because I didn't have a doctor. I didn't, you know, I was having some problems, and I looked for a recommendation, and somebody said Dr. Rich was a really good guy. Little did I know that he was involved in the conspiratorial view of history. Now, I don't know if he talks that way as a congressman now, but he ought to be. And so, so I saw him and we were talking, and somehow or other, I don't know if he had a radio program on or something came up and I gave him my view on something. He said, well, have you ever read Nandir Called a Conspiracy? I said, no, I'm not familiar with that. And I said, but I did read a book when I went to Rutgers University. And this book was a book that exposed a power elite. It was actually called The Power Elite by C. Wright Mills. Yeah, believe it or not, in a very liberal university like Rutgers University in New Jersey, the Berkeley of the East Coast, here I am in political science, but it also was taught in sociology. You know, we had Democracy in America, de Tocqueville, and we also had C. Wright Mills. We had like six books to read. I mean, Rutgers especially the main campus, New Brunswick, was academically challenged, to say the least. I mean, they made sure you did a lot of reading and you did a lot of work. And you had to earn your grades. It wasn't grade inflation. So he said, I've heard of that too. And he said, I'm just going to give you the book. I said, well, how much do I owe you for it? He said, I buy them in quantity. They're inexpensive. Just read it and tell me what you think. Well, when I read that book, it was just like when Irwin Schiff, the book that had a profound effect on me, I said, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore, and I'm going to do something about it. And so I became more and more interested in the Patriot Freedom Constitutional Movement, and eventually I ended up starting the American Liberty Association, which was an offshoot of Freedmen Education Association in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And Vern Holland was the founder of that. So it's interesting. I wonder what Dr. Mike Ritz thinks now that he's a United States congressman. I haven't had any contact with him since. But if you know Mike, Dr. Mike Ritz, remind him of that guy, Tom Donahue. And I presume he was familiar that I had my radio program in the 90s, but I'm not certain. So that's how I got started. And so that little book, according to Barbara Allen, the wife of Gary Allen, the primary author of None Dare Call It a Conspiracy, said that Eustace Mullins was the inspiration and the predominant source for his research and putting together a book. And that little book, I think there's 10 million copies of this little paperback book that's in existence. And, you know, it had a profound effect on me, and I know that any of you that read that, and again, if it wasn't for Eustace Mullins, that book probably would have never, ever been written. There are many people right now, including yours truly, that would not be doing what they're doing in the trenches, opposing and exposing this world order. Now we're going to go to a break. We're going to come back. And I hope that you stay tuned. I hope you are telling your friends right now, because this might be one of the most important programs that they're going to listen to. Because I am going to tell you from my recollections, the things that Eustace Mullins told me. I have two decades of experience with the dean of all things conspiracy that are really factual. That is right. Eustace Mullins has passed, and he's in a better place. God bless Eustace Mullins, and God bless America. We'll be back. Hold tight. Welcome back, Tom Donahue, free thinker on the American Voice Radio Network, and of course our good friends at TalkStream Live. Remember, and do your three clicks if you want to support this program and continue keeping us in the top five, which we are currently, without even mentioning it or promoting it. And this morning we did really, really well in our replay. It was great. We were 1 and 2. So thank you there very much, too. Now, again, just simply click on the host name. Go to the host page, which I call the Radio Lounge. You have those green bars. Click on those 3 times, and that's the way to show support. Now, this is a special tribute program to the passing of my mentor, my friend, and my colleague, Eustace Mullins. I have to suspect that if you've been a frequent listener of this program or AVR, you would know who Eustace Mullins is. If you know anything about the private nature of the Federal Reserve, then yes, you know who Eustace Mullins is, directly or indirectly. I recall a time with Eustace Mullins where I said, well, Eustace, I mean, I hear all this stuff about being private and, you know, but if they're private corporations, you know, I mean, do they have stock certificates or is there stock ownership or how's it work? He said, oh, yes. And I said, really? I said, how could that be? He said, well, I went and met with Joseph Coyne. Ironic that the name is Coyne. that was what the money used to be. And he was the chief executive officer in Washington, D.C. for the Federal Reserve. And he had Eustace Mullins' books up there on his bookshelf. And he said, oh, I'm glad to meet you, Mr. Mullins. He said, we're very familiar with your work. And a bit sarcastic. So Mullins met with Joseph Coyne. And he said, I'd like to get copies of, I know they exist, of the stockholder certificates for the member banks in the 12 regions. He said, well, it's going to be a lot of photocopying, but I guess we could do that. And he said, I'd really appreciate that. And, you know, Mullins said, well, whatever that cost, I'll be glad to pay for that. And so I guess they talked for about 45 minutes or so. And he walked out of there with all the stock certificates, I guess because it really is. I mean, if no one else thought to ask for them. That's right. He said, he goes, you're the only person we know of as a private citizen that ever asked for this. And I guess through freedom of information, and with them allegedly being kind of a hybrid quasi-governmental, he didn't want to make this into more of an issue, and he figured it'd probably go away. Probably didn't have much, you know, most people wouldn't be interested in knowing, oh, okay, so their stock certificates, so what? So when I asked Eustace about this, I said, well, could you send me, because I lived in Dallas at that time, I said, the stock certificates that would relate to the Dallas Fed and also the New York Fed, which you say is the money center bank that controls the other 11 branches. He said, okay. So we used to make copies available, and we had them in our office. So anyone that doubted us, we'd say, well, you know, you can pay the copy cost of it, or you can simply look at it while you're here. And people were stunned. And so Eustace Mullins was the first to let us, I mean, to prove definitively that these are private corporations. Now, back in the 1980s, early 90s, he said that 63% of the shares of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York was controlled by 5 banks. Now, I guess with consolidation, it might be 1 or 2 or 3. And so when Eustace Mullins questioned Joseph Coyne, he said, well, he said, so really, the more shares you own, the more say that a member bank would have in the Federal Reserve. He says, oh, no. Even if someone owns 1 share, he said, they still have 1 vote, and they all have 1 vote, and they all have their say. Well, I mean, how else is he going to defend it? So he's acting like some little mom and pop or bank that might have a share if they're lucky. He's going to have as much say as, you know, Chase Manhattan Bank or, you know, Citibank or et cetera. But Eustace Mullins is an author, a researcher, a scholar, a poet. I mean, this, you want to talk about a Renaissance man similar to Thomas Jefferson, where this guy had an eclectic, a diverse amount of interest and did them all well. Now, if you go to Wikipedia or you want to read or if you've read his books, you know that he was the mentor and he was the biographer of Ezra Pound. Many would say that Ezra Pound was probably the greatest writer, poet, and scholar of the 20th century. Now, I'm not going to be able to do this justice, and a lot of this I'm saying is from my heart, and from my mind and spirit, and trying to the best of my ability to bring forward to you personal recollections. And it's difficult for me because this person, this man meant the world to me. And I really hoped and prayed that I would have had him on this broadcast one more time. I promised him that we would ride one more time. And I couldn't find him, you know, with his health issues and family issues. And I just couldn't locate him. But I have located you now, my friend. And we're going to talk, and this is not the last time that we're going to talk about Eustace Mullins and his contributions to the Freedom Patriot constitutional movement. It's only the beginning. The Eustace Mullins was a kind-hearted person, and he had immense intelligence. And when I would bring him to speak at various conferences, and like I say, this man never asked for, all he wanted was his expenses paid. And many, many groups wouldn't even do that, and he would still take it out of his own pocket. You try to find me a patriot now that's that doesn't have an honorarium. Yeah, Sarah Palin said she's not going to accept the 100 or 115,000. She's going to donate it and put it into candidates and causes, and yeah, right. But Eustace Mullins was a charitable man, and he really cared. I mean, you should have seen how many people, I mean, he would be dead tired. Sometimes he'd be in that meeting all till 1 a.m., still answering questions. There was never a speaker. Now Bo Greitz was a compelling speaker and still is. Bo Greitz is probably the most dynamic speaker I've ever heard. Now, he's dynamic on his radio program, but he takes it to another level when he's up there on stage. Trust me. I mean, he is by far one of the most compelling speakers. And Eustace Mullins, he was more laid back. Matter of fact, even when he was interviewed, I was the only interviewer. And I don't mean to be braggadocious here, but I was in tune with him. I was in sync with him. We had a rapport, and I knew how to ask certain questions of a specific nature and extract that information. So we got the most out of that program and out of that guest. Now, other hosts, they're so ego-absorbed that they're going to tell that host, that guest, including Eustace Mullins, what they know about the Fed or the world order. And the majority of the time, you're going to hear only the host, and Eustace will go, yeah, okay, that's right, yeah. But Eustace was one of those guys. He was meek. He was courageous. But he was meek in the sense that he would not stand. I mean, he stood up to the monster, the beast. But he didn't care. His ego wasn't involved. If that host wanted to act like they knew about more, he would just kind of kick back and figured, okay, that's the kind of interview we have here. I'm not here to boast. I'm not here to tell you how much I know, because he knew how much he knew. But you'll see guests, they always have this agenda. Eustace Mullins, I'd be in a studio with him in Dallas, and let me come back to that point. And I take him to the David Gold Show. Matter of fact, now he's in San Francisco. Well, he was off the air for a while. But he was the number one host in drive time afternoons in talk radio at that time in 1984, 5, 6, 7. And so I'd drop a little note to Eustace, and I'd say, remember to mention the meeting. Remember to mention your book. Remember, he wasn't there to promote those things. All he wanted to do was tell you what he knew. Many people that would say, hey, Eustace, could I get the case price discount? I can only buy six. He would do it. 50% off. You know how many invoices never got paid? He just trusted the person. He's leaving this earth now. He's probably owed a couple million dollars. Because he just wasn't assertive enough in that regard to be a bill collector. And he figured, hey, if you wanted to wrong him that badly, so what? But he did go after, and he did sue J. Edgar Hoover. He did sue the FBI. He did sue the IRS. I mean, this guy, he was litigious, but he only went after forces that were larger than him. He didn't concern himself. So he lost 1,000 here. He lost 500 here. It didn't matter. He would just make it up by selling more books. But he never charged for a speaking engagement. And again, he was lucky if he even received an honor, not the honorarium. I mean, that was a rarity, but just getting his expenses paid. I never met a man that was more loyal and dedicated to constitutional principles and had he never wore religion on his sleeve, but you could just sense being around the man that he really loved Christ. He really had a personal relationship with God, Yahweh and Jehovah, Yeshua, Jesus. But he lived it. He breathed it. He never lived in fear. He had brake lines cut. He's had all kinds of attempted assassinations on his life. And somehow, mysteriously, miraculously, the angels and God protected him. So at 87 years of age, Eustace Mullins has passed on, and he's in a better place. Now, let me just read to you, and I'm going to come back to my recollections, but I'm going to read to you what I received from reliable sources. And, you know, the more information I receive, the more I'll share. This came to me through my email. It said, midday today, meaning February the 2nd, Eustace Clarence Mullins Jr. passed on to the higher realms, where he will be joining his good friend, poet Ezra Pound. Less than 2 weeks ago, Eustace Mullins suffered a stroke which resulted in his passing today. Eustace's body will be transported to Staunton, Virginia, by his close friend and traveling companion, Jesse Lee. Eustace has surviving relatives that live in Staunton, Virginia. Now, there is a U in there. He has it spelt differently, but that's okay. It's really, it may be still pronounced Stanton, but it's really Staunton. Thanks primarily to a singular effort of Jesse Lee, the last 2 years of Eustace Mullins' life has been one of adventure, camaraderie, and the continuation of Eustace Mullins' educational efforts to inform people of the great deception that has permeated this planet by a handful of individuals, a deception that is rapidly bringing this planet to what has become officially known as World War III, or really, people call it New World Order. More will be added to the site in the near future concerning Eustace Mullins. For the moment, God bless and keep Eustace in a warm, friendly embrace. He has earned his rest. And I'm going to add something more to that. Yes, he's earned his rest, and he's earned your respect. And Eustace will be greatly missed by many of his friends, the Friends of Eustace Mullins Society. I'm going to tell you something. Again, you know how I am in forecasting. This will, and I hate to use the word cult because I don't like that word, but you want to talk about a cult following. You want to talk about the fact that now he has passed, and I hate to even use the word icon, but he is an icon in a sense that there will never, ever be anyone that will approach the impact that this single human being has had in his century. If Eustace Mullins had lived in the 1700s, he would have been a founding father there in Virginia, fighting alongside with Jefferson and Washington and Madison. And I believe that wholeheartedly. So I have that. And then there is another email that I received. And let me get to that as well. It's a little more detailed. Probably, if I don't get to everything today, I certainly will spend more time on this in the coming days. But this is what I received. Legendary historian Eustace Mullins dies. Legendary author of hundreds of books and pamphlets, demolishing the lies of the war making. Okay, the war making mainstream media. Historian, scholar Eustace Mullins died Tuesday, February the 2nd, at the home of his caretaker in a small town in Texas. Mullins, who would have been 87 in March, suffered a stroke 3 weeks ago in Columbus, Ohio. He's been on an extended tour of his admirers for much of the past year, visiting and chatting with many of his thousands of fans who jumped at the chance to buy his books from him in person. The author of such extraordinary works as Secrets of the Federal Reserve, The New World Order, Murder by Injection, The Curse of Canaan, also A Writ for Martyrs, which details a lot of those sensitive FBI released documents, how he was under heavy surveillance. You know, they had an all points bulletin out for Eustace Mullins, and he recounts this in Writ for Martyrs. And many of the pages are blacked out. And J. Edgar Hoover put the bulletin out because they were so afraid of the information he had shared with Senator McCarthy, and they felt that it may bring the collapse of this country because the information was that volatile. And so he happened to be, because he was an artist, he decided he wanted to do some painting and he wanted to get away. So he went to this, remember, there was no geo satellites and there wasn't the surveillance society. So it took some shoe leather, you know, some gumshoe shoe leather, private eye work to find someone. So he was off in a remote area up by, I think it was the Great Lakes, one of those areas. And, you know, and there was no telephones, so he didn't know that the FBI put out this all points bulletin because they wanted to question him at worst, they probably wanted to murder him. Yeah, that's right. If they find you too dangerous, if they cannot silence you, and remember the way the government does this, and Eustace Mullins explained this very well. He was the first to tell me you could have a Daisy Club meeting with five members. And if it appeared to be too political, they're going to have an infiltrator. And it's going to be an agent. And he was the one turning me onto these terms, agent provocateur or saboteur. And he said, you just have to understand that many of these groups are founded by the government. And Hal Turner, which is a case in point example, some of the Michigan militia, Ken Adams in particular. I mean, there are a multitude of examples. Mike Green, who pretended to be a loyal patriot and constitutionalist under Vern Holland, ended up testifying against Vern at trial. And he said he sold out because he became afraid of the IRS. But no, I think all along he was there to bring down Freedom Education and try to collect as much information on its members. Hey, John Voss went through that, you know, at the NCBA. You know, Richard Flowers, there's many, many patriots that have started up First Amendment associations to protect one's right and to promote one's right to privacy and other rights as it relates to whether it be finances. But every patriot leader, legitimate patriot leader, and many, many just the common Janes and Joes that know something about the Federal Reserve today, know something about this New World Order or World Order or globalism, you can trace it back to Eustace Mullins. So you can thank Eustace Mullins when you're on your knees tonight praying or meditating. Say a little prayer. You know, you have been blessed directly or indirectly by one of the most important individuals to profoundly affect for good the United States of America, and that's Eustace Mullins. And I want you to learn more about Eustace Mullins, and I'm going to do more to teach you about Eustace Mullins. And my only regret was I didn't have that last opportunity to hug this man and tell him how much I cared about him. Thankfully, we stayed in touch through my Alan Wood experience. And I always tried to locate him, and I did keep in touch with him. But then when he encountered more health problems and he had to be moved out of, I even talked to him when he was in a nursing home, and then he recuperated from those health issues. And this good friend here, which I was unaware of till now, he apparently rescued him from at the behest of his family. His family actually turned on him. Stole all his money. And I believe that was his nephew. And they closed out his P.O. box. And so Eustace Mullins, I still have his original phone number memorized in my head. And so I put out the clarion call, but no one seemed to know a direct way to reach him. And maybe, I heard rumblings that he was still out there. Now I have, and this is free. You can go to YouTube if you want, but if you want to go to freethinkerradio.com under our video section, you will see several postings there for Eustace Mullins in his interviews and his teachings. And there you go. It'll actually link you to other videos of Eustace Mullins. And I have a feeling in the next couple of days, you'll find many more tribute videos and vintage videos of Eustace Mullins. I spent so much time with this man. I have the utmost respect for Eustace Mullins. And he was a funny guy, too. And there were times where this is the way Eustace would say. He'd say, "Oh, yes." And sometimes you get my name wrong. He'd say, "Yes, and I want to thank Thomas Donahoe." And I'd say, "Eustace is Donahue." "Oh, I'm sorry." But I guess he knew someone, and so he liked to pronounce it Donahoe. And, man, I would sometimes talk to him on the phone for an hour. And I'd say, "Well, Eustace, what about this guy? What about that?" He knew all the players in the freedom movement. He could tell me who the legitimate ones and who the ones that he knew. He used to think it was kind of funny. Like, he knew the certain ones were government agents, and they'd call him. His phone number was listed. He didn't hide that. His address was listed. Never hid that. He just trusted in God that he'd be protected. Never was paranoid. Even though, like I say, brake lines have been cut many times, that there were many break-ins, documents have been stolen. They got to his family. They threatened his family, and they turned on him. And so that's what happened to Eustace. But the trials and tribulations that he experienced. But I'm telling you, this man would read 5 to 10 newspapers a day. He'd read hundreds of articles a day. I would give him a book. I said, "Eustace, this new book came out. What do you think? What do you think about the author?" And all, he'd look at it. He was a speed reader. So he would have an entire book read in five minutes. And he could quote verbatim through photographic memory exactly what the thesis of that book was, or the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I learned so much from him. And we just had an incredible rapport. Now, I mean, I can remember the dinners we had and the lunches and the travels. Matter of fact, I took him, I mentioned this a while back, I took him to the studios in Red Lion, Pennsylvania to do a TV taping with Reverend Jim Nichols. And I picked him up. He flew into, he drove to Philadelphia from Virginia, or he flew in, and I picked him up. And I drove him out to Red Lion, Pennsylvania. And that was another incredible experience. But we've done a lot of travels together. I was, at no fee, at no charge. I was sort of his, I ran a speakers bureau for our own organization. So I told him I would do it for him for gratis. You know, I just believed in him. And so I was setting up speaking engagements all over the country for Eustace Mullins. And, I was very protective. And I thank this Jesse Lee for doing the same. I'm not that protective of myself, and I'm not a tough guy, I'm not a bullhorn bully, but let me tell you, if you try to hurt a family member or a friend or someone I love and respect, well, this 160-pound frame at 5'9.5" will become a 7-foot giant that'll be all over you, because I will not take bullyism, I will not take elder fraud and abuse. I will not tolerate the meek and the mild that will not stand up for themselves or incapable of standing up. I will stand up. Eustace Mullins stood up for us. He never stood down. He never buckled under any pressures. And this man deserves all the accolades, all the respect. And I'm just telling you that he is the single most effective, the most prominent force to ever impact the Patriot Freedom Constitutional Movement. He is the dean of the genre of conspiracy theory, which became more conspiracy facts of history, thanks to Eustace Mullins. There's so much I want to share with you. And And hey, if for any reason this doesn't excite you, then turn the dial, because I don't need you and I don't want you here. But if you're interested in hearing more, and yes, I'm going to carry through the entire second hour talking about one of the greatest men in the history of the United States of America, Eustace Mullins. Stay tuned. Donahue, free thinker on the American Voice Radio Network, and our good friends at TalkStream Live. Make sure you show your support for this program in many ways, and in a small way, just click on my name, which is right now in the, I think, in the third ranking on TalkStream Live. You have up to three clicks on those green bars in the radio lounge of the host page, and we appreciate that. The greater awareness, staying in that top five, is a way of reaching out, and that's why Eustace Mullins felt, and touching others, and to share this kind of information. Now, I know there's the spaceship program on this time too, and they rumor mill, and those people that are addicted or focused on that right now tells me that they're not part of this patriot community. And yeah, that's my view and my take. Anybody that want to listen about spaceships and alien abductions, no, that is not. And let me just be real clear here. That is not part of the Freedom Patriot Constitutional Movement. That is a fringe. That's a bunch of nutcases. You know, that's not to say there isn't life in other places, but that is an issue of distraction and diversion and perversion. Okay. Now I am pretty charged up today, and I've got so many emotions that are affecting me. My friend, my mentor, father figure, kind of a surrogate dad in some ways, has passed on, Eustace Mullins. In my view, probably the not only legendary, but may have been one of the greatest of, I almost want to say founding fathers, though I know he wasn't born in the 1700s, but maybe refounding fathers. And yes, he was born in the great state of Virginia, went to school and lived there. Yes, so just the home of Thomas Jefferson. Matter of fact, he resided in Staunton, Virginia, which was very close to the University of Virginia, the same university that Thomas Jefferson founded and built. Yeah, Thomas Jefferson was an architect. Thomas Jefferson had lots of interests and lots of talents. And the same held true for Eustace Mullins, a poet, a writer, a scholar, an educator, an unbelievable human being, a humanitarian. And meek, he was meek and mild in his demeanor, but in terms of an uncorruptible spirit, I mean, he had an indomitable spirit. I mean, he was the incomparable Eustace Mullins. Wasn't wedded to money, wasn't wedded to fame or fortune. He would have never asked what his ranking was or his rating was or if he got a good review. He felt he was a man on a mission. He was on a crusade to save the United States of America. Now, whether you want to look back in time, and as I mentioned in the first hour, where he was hired as an assistant under Senator McCarthy and Eustace Mullins, he wanted to know who was financing communism. And was there a link based on Mullins' book, Mullins on the Federal Reserve, and his work with Ezra Pound, who was a political prisoner during World War II, and he was considered the greatest poet and writer, perhaps, in the 20th century. All the great writers that you know of, Ernest Hemingway, etc., so many of those writers were profoundly influenced by Ezra Pound. Eustace Mullins not only declared him his mentor, but he also was the biographer for Ezra Pound. And guess what? Ezra Pound was the first to say to Eustace Mullins, who visited him, you know, at St. Elizabeth's Hospital, where he was a political prisoner, because he was on the radio and spoke out against the forces for war. He spoke out against the Zionists. He spoke out against the bankers and what we call today the modern-day neocons. Yeah, and Roosevelt said, lock him up, put him in an insane asylum. Well, Eustace Mullins, as a writer and a poet and a creative person, said, you know, I mean, this guy was a hero to him. I mean, he just thought this was, like many people that are creative and artistic and come from a writer's perspective or genre, said, I want to visit him. I want to see if I can get on the guest list. So he did. And he took a liking to Eustace, and he said, I can't do this from my research from this hospital. But I'm going to commission you. I want you to go out and find everything you can about the Federal Reserve System. So Eustace said, I don't know anything about it. He said, well, you will. He said, I want you to go to the Library of Congress. Find out everything you can. So Eustace Mullins was given an assignment. And from that day on, he's been on a mission till yesterday in his passing. But his spirit still lives on through me and through others. I remember a time when I said to Eustace, I said, how can you do all this reading and research? I said, and I have to admit, when I was in my 20s and 30s, I wanted to get the gist of it. I wanted to get the highlights. Well, when I was at Allenwood, and I had plenty of free time, you know, and I wanted to make that a meaningful experience, I said, okay, I'm gonna buckle down here. I don't like immersing myself in all this detail. I'm one of these creative guys that like to know, you know, the big picture and get the gist of it. Well, I said, no, the devil's in the details, and I'm going to do my research. And I decided to focus on at that time, although I did keep up with, you know, I read, you know, 8 to 10 newspapers a day. You know, I did go through the political and the news and all that. But I said, how could I, during my time here, how could I help others? And I didn't know it would take on a role where I could help people through the radio again. I didn't know. I mean, I hoped and prayed, and I really believed that I could make a comeback. And thanks to Frank Stephan and American Voice and you, the loyal listener, I've been able to. So Eustace, you know, he was on this mission to expose and oppose, based on the assignment that was given to him by Ezra Pound. And he continued every day to come back with more material. And he said, no, so Ezra Pound said, you need to write the books. And you're also going to write my biography. I said, okay. Well, he did. Now, Mullins didn't publish his book to 1952, called Mullins on the Federal Reserve, which later became Secrets of the Federal Reserve. Now, many, many books that you see in print today, probably half of them give proper attribution, proper credit to Eustace Mullins. Others simply just stole his work, more or less plagiarized his work. And then you had, then you have certain, and they still exist, and they keep changing their name out of Washington, D.C., this crooked outfit. And their whole focus is always on Zionism and beyond that. But there's nothing else that ails the world more than Zionism, which, hey, I'm against neocons, I'm against Zionism. But there's more to the story. It's a more, you know, you want the complete puzzle. You know, you want to solve the, if you want to solve the riddle or put together the puzzle, it goes beyond just Zionism. So this outfit, and I don't want to mention his name because, it doesn't serve a purpose. But Eustace Mullins knew that this guy was wretched scum. He knew that he was not motivated, to do the right things. It was a profit motive. He was a profiteer. And it was a possibility that he was set up or he was being financed to more radicalize the message and to discredit the valid parts of the message. I learned so much. I spent many, many hours with Eustace Mullins on countless occasions. But we had correspondence through the mail, by phone, in person, at meetings. I probably know Eustace Mullins better than just about anybody else. And he took a real liking to me. Now, I wasn't the person at that time in the 1980s to do that kind of research. I didn't think that was my, you know, my forte. I didn't think that was really, you know, I was designed to be, you know, I could get in front of a group or I could a microphone or speak, but now I've become a more consummate researcher. And in my Ellenwood experience, I spent that on natural health and healing and wellness and helped a lot of people. Now, you know, fast forward today, I can do the same on radio. And I'd infuse those health segments to be of service to you. When I met Eustace Mullins, he was 63 years of age. And I remember that first day that he came into the airport. I picked him up, and A.J. Lowry, the Justice Times, said, well, can you pick up Eustace, and thank you for putting together this meeting, and can we, you know, the Justice Times out of Little Rock, you know, or close to Little Rock, Arkansas, we want to have a little display table. Sure, fine, whatever. Now, the only thing with A.J. was that he was a bit of a showman, and he wanted to get all kinds of credit. He said, well, I'm glad this is our meeting, and Tom's done some good work, too. Again, that's where that expression comes in. I don't care who gets the credit as long as the job gets done. So if it made AJ feel good that he put together the meeting when 90% of it was my efforts and my revenue and, you know, that's fine. It really didn't matter. You know, all I cared about was that we had a huge audience that were able to listen to Eustace Mullins. And his first speech coming out of retirement or being a recluse, it was a bit dry. It was a bit ponderous. But, you know, nobody got up out of their chair and left. They said the information was so right on. It didn't matter how charismatic. It didn't matter, you know, how it was the substance over the style. Now, as time went on, he became greater at ease. Just like anything, if you practice, in most instances, you'll become better. So, yeah, so then he became more relaxed, and he was very good during the question-answer session. So I'd have to say that probably we sponsored Eustace Mullins into Dallas, Texas, I'd say at least 15 occasions, in Jacksonville, Florida, probably about five. He probably made, and this is a conservative estimate, at least 50 appearances on my radio program, at least. And Eustace Mullins was never on just for, it wasn't like a special guest segment. No, it was 2 hours and we needed more time. And sometimes we bring him back the next day. Now, there's a lot of books out there, you know, whether it's Bill Cooper's book or Ralph Epperson or Gary Allen, and you can go on and on. There's plenty of books. And G.G. Edward Griffin, they're all good books. But the problem is that they're not as complete as Eustace Mullins. And Eustace Mullins, you know, paved the path, I mean, he really was the John the Baptist, but he was beyond the John the Baptist in terms of the analogy. He was also, I hate to use the word savior, but I'm just saying he, or the prophet, but he literally was, I mean, and still is, the predominant figure in the conspiracy view of history. You know, conspiracy theory could have never taken place with Jesse Ventura if it wasn't for someone like Eustace Mullins to put in this much time and effort and energy. Now, back to this meeting that he had with, and then he worked for a short time, Senator McCarthy. McCarthy wanted to find out who was behind communism, who's financing communism, and is there a Federal Reserve connection to this? And he also asked Eustace Mullins to write a speech for him, sort of like the way Pat Buchanan would write speeches for Republican presidents. And he was going to deliver that, I believe it was the Commerce Club in Chicago, Illinois. And he did deliver the speech, and he talked about that it was these international bankers that not only controlled the Federal Reserve, but also finances communism and financed the Bolshevik Revolution. Well, in Eustace's view, well, actually, it's not just his view. I mean, I don't see any reason that Eustace would have not told the truth in this matter, because I spent so much time with him that he was an honest person. He was an honorable person. And he said that McCarthy said he had to fire him because he was being threatened. And so he did. So he let him go from his staff. And he never, ever brought that up. He just stuck with the standard line of communism. It's sort of like Glenn Beck as he talks about progressives. He's not going to talk to you about who's behind progressives. He's not going to tell you the real hidden hand or the unseen hand. But Mullins talked about these things before anyone even used a term like an unseen hand or a shadow government or global government. And he kind of laughed at when people used the term New World Order. He said, there's nothing new about it unless you want to look at it in advertising terms. It's the same world order. It's dynastic. You know, it's got a certain bloodline and a certain, you know, it's the black nobility, and it's, you know, it's people in high places. And he used to laugh when he said people would look at the Forbes 400. He said, do you think that Rockefeller or Rothschild or Morgan or a Schiff would want their name listed on there? They really don't. The richest of the rich that have, the trust funds, and they have the offshore banks, and they have banks behind banks, and, you know, shields behind shields. You know, they do not want to be part. They're not looking for that kind of exposure. They don't want an award for that. They want you to think that Sam Walton, you know, or Bill Gates or one of these nouveau rich are the real richest men in the world. That takes the heat off of them. So Mullins understood that. But he actually took up residence, not by permission, at the Library of Congress when he did this research for the Secrets of the Federal Reserve, which in its earlier version was Mullins on the Federal Reserve. But I've never seen anyone that you could ask any question. And he just go back into his memory bank and goes, oh, yes, let me tell you. And we just, I mean, he had the command of the facts and the figures. It was unbelievable. An incredible human being. The contributions that Eustace Mullins made cannot be listed or done justice in this two-hour broadcast. Now, we're going to talk a little bit, we're going to do a little bit of a, let me just tell you that what I'm going to say in this very moment, and at the bottom of the hour, I'm going to give a quick read for our sponsor. And again, we also have a link up on our website under health links, and we're also going to put one on our homepage for energywave.com, which is the vitamin company that I'll be telling you more about, which if you've listened the last couple of days, you know, has become a sponsor of ours, and we're so proud and pleased to have them. And quite frankly, the vitamins that I'm taking from them has increased my cognitive skills as well as my physical wherewithal, and I just love it. So many don't know that Eustace Mullins wrote a book, and I helped inspire this because we would we would brainstorm on some things. It was called Murder by Injection, the Medical Conspiracy Against America. And at that time, I didn't know as much, but I was still into natural health and healing, and there weren't that many health foods. So as a matter of fact, I tried to live, when I was in Dallas, as close to a Whole Foods as possible. And so I was trying to get Eustace, because he had a little bit of a distended belly, and he had some digestive issues and whatever, and so I was trying to get him to bring down that weight, although I didn't know much about the weight. I was just trying to get him to make sure that he was drinking, you know, healthy water, whether it's, you know, filtered or ionized, whatever. And we would talk about, you know, fresh fruits and vegetables and, you know, healthy whole grains and et cetera. So Eustace Mullins started doing this research because he realized that the medical, he gives you the whole background in terms of the founding of the AMA. It talks about the allopathic medicine and how the Rockefellers wanted the Frankenstein cut, slice, burn, poison technology versus the naturopathic medicine. And so everything you want to know about the medical conspiracy, who's behind Big Pharma, is in that book, Murder by Injection, the Medical Conspiracy Against America. I don't know if he ever published a book, but people had encouraged him to do something on the education system, and he may have. But the writ for martyrs is a book that chronicles his life's trials and tribulations, and it also reprints many of, in part, some of the documents are blacked out. But I think there's about 250 to 300 pages of these FBI documents that were finally released from based on the Freedom of Information request or demand. And then he had the Rape of Justice. He exposed the entire legal system. You want to know about the Black Robe cover up? You want to talk about the Masonic connection to our legal system? You want to find out about the dark forces of our legal system and why Thomas Jefferson hold them in such? If Thomas Jefferson were president right now, he would have looked over to that Supreme Court and said something. Now, I still think of Obama as an abomination, but nevertheless, a president of the United States should stand up to them. And it should stand up to corporations. Thomas Jefferson did. And Thomas Jefferson was the guiding force. He led the opposition against the First National Bank of the United States. And so it was the Hamiltonian Rothschild forces that Jefferson fought, when he was Secretary of State, and then Vice President, and then eventually President for two terms. So Eustace Mullins traces all this. If you want to know the causes of wars, you want to know why wars are financed, well, it's all in these books, Secrets of the Federal Reserve and The World Order. And he was so, I recall when I said, Eustace, when George Bush in 1991, And we've got the video of that, and many of you have heard that, and it's no secret, where George Bush came out and proclaimed a new world order. Well, there's nothing new about it, but at least he was now saying, hey, this is our Madison Avenue marquee phrase for we the elitist, the plutocrats that run the planet and keep you subjected in servitude or in a peon plantation status. So when Mullins, there was just more and more confirmation that everything that Mullins said, those books, those videos, those audios, they're not time sensitive. When I'd ask Eustace Mullins, okay, you talk about a council of five, who are the five that you believe, based on all your research, that runs the world? Never hesitated, you didn't do a Kevin Trudeau where you buy the book and then you go to a website or you go to somewhere else and you follow the riddle and then maybe you get the answer. He would just come right out, point blank, on the air and say, two of them are Rothschilds, one was George Shultz, one was Averill Harriman, and forget the rest. But there were four of the five I remember off the top of my head. But he always would just simply name them. That's the kind of man Eustace Mullins was. He was meek in demeanor, but one of the most courageous men. He did not fear man. He did not fear the empire. And no matter how much they struck back, he's in a better place. And God bless Eustace Mullins and God bless America. We'll be back. Hold tight. Welcome back. Tom Donahue, free thinker on the American Voice Radio Network. So glad to have you on board today. If you haven't shown your support, we certainly would welcome your three clicks. Just go to the host name at TalkStream Live and click on Tom Donahue and go in there and click on those green bars three times. And we appreciate that. And we're in a very solid upper echelons of the rankings and ratings today. And thank you very much. Now, I want to talk about thank yous. We have a sponsor that have stepped up to the plate. And someone that, matter of fact, personally, even if they weren't a sponsor, I had no idea that I could find a vitamin line that would make me feel this good. And the message I gave you about murder by injection, the medical conspiracy against America, and all the other health advice I've been giving you this week, it's brought to you by the good people at Green Turtle Bay Vitamin Company. Now, I'm taking currently the Power Vites and the Power Mate. These are 100% natural. I truly believe that this is the cutting edge of nutritional science. If you have a product that is easily digestible, you assimilate properly. I mean, there's no more stomach distress. There's no more belching. There's no more like, oh my gosh, there's horse pills. And this stuff works. So you got the same healthy bacteria base that you find in yogurt. These are made in small batches, all natural. Now, we have a link, and you'll see one up at American Voice Radio soon, but we have one, and we're going to have it on both pages. Right now, I believe we at least have it up under our health links on our news links page or resources page. So if it's easier for you to do that, just click on that link, and it's right below the health links. Now, all you have to do is go to energywave.com. If you go to energywave.com, remember, the promo code is Tom. $10 off your order. That's right, $10 off. It's already reasonably priced, super competitive in pricing. It's the finest ingredients, the finest products, and the finest results. I would not speak to you today. I would not be voicing. You would not hear me doing a live read if I didn't believe so passionately about this product and this company, Green Turtle Bay Vitamin Company. Now, the website is energywave.com. So again, the promo code is Tom. Just all you have to do is put in T-O-M and you will automatically get $10 off your order. What a deal. But again, you are going to thank me. I'm thanking them. I am deeply appreciative of these products and you will be too. Energywave.com. If you forget that, click on the link when you come to the site. That's freethinkerradio.com under our health links. And that'll take you directly to the site. Okay, back to Eustace Mullins, author of Secrets of the Federal Reserve, The World Order, Murder by Injection, The Rape of Justice, A Writ for Martyrs, and much, much more. In my view, Eustace Mullins is a modern-day patriot, a refounding father, if you will. This guy is the be-all and the end-all as it relates to into a man and what a difference one person can make. Again, I say he was meek in demeanor and courageous in spirit. He did not fear the empire, no matter if the empire would strike back, and they did. Eustace Mullins went through lots of wranglings with the FBI, the Internal Revenue Service, and other alphabet soup agencies. He's had brake lines cut, attempted assassinations, gunshots. I mean, they tried to burn his house down. They turned his family against him. And you name it. But you know what? Eustace never, I mean, his address, his phone number, up until, I guess, a year ago or so, when I guess he was rescued by the gentleman we spoke about earlier, if someone would call him and say, oh, I'm really talking to Eustace Mullins. Oh, yes, yeah, what can I do for you? Eustace would answer the phone. He never asked for an honorarium. Now, when we brought him to Dallas and we brought him to Jacksonville and I worked with him in a speaking tour, if we had extra money, and then, you know, we'd offer many times, he'd say, oh, that's okay. He just wanted if you can help pay for my expenses and give me some reasonable lodging. Just some reasonable accommodation. Do you know how many people forced Eustace to sleep on cots? And he would still do it. You wouldn't find Lindsay Williams or some of these others. Oh, no, I got to be at the Marriott, the Radisson, the Hyatt. Yeah, I'm sure Thomas Jefferson and George Washington asked to stay at a Hyatt. So you want to call yourself a patriot. If you are charging honorariums, now, if someone wants to voluntarily and they profited from your speaking and all that, that's fine. But it's not a problem with asking for your expenses. It's not a problem if you have an ample opportunity to promote your books or tapes or whatever. But no, there's too many patriots for profit, gouging people. But that wasn't Eustace Mullins. All Eustace Mullins wanted to do was help save the United States of America from a totalitarian dictatorship. He was the first to go beyond the John Birch Society and some of these so-called anti-communist groups, because he knew that who was financing communism. And he told Senator McCarthy the truth. It's the Federal Reserve. It's the international banksters and gangsters. Senator McCarthy was threatened. Eustace Mullins was let go from being a researcher on the staff of Senator McCarthy. So he went back to, like Glenn Beck went back to when he was reprimanded. Didn't take much reprimanding. And just say, oh, just call them progressives. Don't talk about New World Order. Don't talk about globalists. Don't talk about the Federal Reserve gangsters and banksters. Don't name the names. Don't connect the dots. Just say, they're all progressives. Well, for the longest time, now let me just go back in time a little bit for those of you that are just joining us this hour. If you ever were influenced, or if you ever read the book, None Dare Call It a Conspiracy, I had communications with Barbara Allen from California, who was the wife of Gary Allen, the late, great Gary Allen, who wrote the original paperback book, None Dare Call It a Conspiracy. In that letter, and I may have it somewhere, I don't know, I lost so much stuff in my trials and travails. But in that letter that I shared with Eustace Mullins, and he was so pleased because he always thought very fondly of that book and what the lead author, the primary author, Gary Allen, the real author of that book, not the neocon that stole the book when Gary was dying and then republished it and put it in a hardback. No, not that ass clown. But Gary Allen said in this letter, well, I mean, it was recounted by his wife, Barbara Allen, that he held Eustace Mullins in the highest regard. And if it wasn't for his research and works and books, this book would have never been possible. He said it was the primary research source of all the research he did. And there was over 10 million copies of that little paperback over the years that got distributed. And yours truly was one of those recipients that helped change his life. So when I discovered Eustace Mullins, about 3-4 years later, then I realized, wow, this is advanced stuff. I mean, if you ever look at that book, The World Order, I mean, every single line is just so chock full of information. You want to talk about connecting the dots. If you want to know who the names of these people are, what they own, and what they have done, you want to indict individuals and organizations, it's all there. Again, he doesn't do the Kevin Trudeau thing of let me take you from this book to another book to a tape to a website. There's no riddles. There's no, it's, he just simply says, these are the facts. I'm naming the names. I'm calling them out. And now it's up to you, the American people, to do the right thing. Now, we had many meetings. Eustace Mullins was always our featured speaker. He was always like the dean in residence. You know, I mean, he was tenured in. So if we were doing a For Concerned Americans conference, American Liberty Association in Dallas or wherever, Eustace Mullins was always invited. And in most instances, he was there. Now, we also had Bo Greitz. We've had former Congressman George Hansen, Paul Desfossas, the National Coalition of Iris Whistleblowers president. We had Pastor Everett Sullivan. We've had so many patriot leaders that George Gordon was another one. I remember that Eustace was so proud of me and our organization, American Liberty Association. When we were selected in 1987 for the bicentennial celebration of the Constitution, and in that particular publication, the top of the article. It was a glossy part of the Dallas Morning News Sunday edition. And like the way you see the New York Times magazine. And this was published on September the 20th. And Eustace Mullins is quoted quite a bit in here. He was one of our prominent speakers that for our rally coming up. And so it said, monetary revolutionaries, they believe that secret conspiracy rules the world. They believe having a social security number gives ground to the enemy, and they believe that they can do what they want with their own money. And this was published September the 20th, 1987. Now, as you know, Constitution Day is September 17th, so that was on a Sunday when it was published a few days later. And it helped promote our meeting. Wow. But nevertheless, Eustace was quoted in there, and I had Todd Fisher called me. I had people from all over the country calling after this. You got to remember, there was no internet back then. I mean, this was really unheard of. Patriot groups really making a difference. And this Todd Fisher, who happens to be the son of Eddie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds, said, "I want to do a film on Eustace Mullins. You know, can we fly him out here?" And they did some kind of film. I don't know what they did with it. But Eustace was getting calls. Our other speakers were. We had at least 20 interviews set up that week besides this big publication that came out. So if you want to know, you know, if I've been fighting in the trenches, you know, if you want to know, you know, when to compare me to some of these other nitwits, nimrods, and taking trips down Numbnuts Lane, I have the battle scars. I have been in the trenches. You know, I have given my blood, sweat, and tears. And Eustace Mullins over the years gave a lot more than I did. He's my mentor. He was my colleague. He was my friend. And in many ways, a surrogate dad. You know, I looked up to him, and I'm a little bit choked up, but I just wish I had one more time to ride with Eustace Mullins. I told him when I was in Allenwood, I said, "We're going to do it one more time, Eustace." And I couldn't find him. Now, all I can tell you is this man had such a profound effect on me and on this movement. And may he rest in peace. Maybe, I know he's with the Lord. I know that he did the Lord's work. And you're going to find out in time, if you listen to this broadcast, you're going to say, you know what? What Tom Donahue at Freethinker Radio and the American Voice Radio Network said is entirely true. And the more research we did, we found out that this was the single most important scholar, researcher, historian to tell the truth way ahead of his time about the Federal Reserve System and its private nature and its criminal activities. It's a criminal syndicate. That's what Eustace Mullins called it way before anyone else. He said it's a criminal syndicate. He was using the term world order, and of course, the New World Order said, "Hey, we've got to change it up a little bit, you know, kind of add a little Madison Avenue jazz to it." He said, "Nothing new about it. They've been here for centuries. You know, it's the same family names. at the upper echelons, at the pyramid of power, at the pinnacle, the zenith. And then you bring in the nouveau NWO cast of characters, Cretans. But I'm telling you what, if Eustace Mullins had not been born, I am telling you we'd probably be at least a couple decades behind in this information. That's how profound an effect, an impact that Eustace Mullins had on this patriotic freedom constitutional movement. I mean, this man went through a living hell because of what he wrote. I mean, this man not only was abused and maligned by the establishment, but also by so-called patriots, yeah, the profiteers, publishing his books and saying later on when they're caught red-handed with offshore accounts and with aliases, they said, hey, we're promoting you. We're promoting your book. Did they ever once offer him any of the revenue that was illegally raised? No. So that'd be like if you wrote a book and you put all your time and efforts and energies into it, and someone just goes out and says, I'm going to reprint that book. You're alive. You have no rights to it. But you set up an offshore corporation and offshore bank accounts, and you have P.O. boxes, and you have people go in, you know, the dead of the night and collect the checks from the P.O. boxes and collect hundreds of thousands of dollars. And so, A, you've stolen intellectual property. B, you've taken, taken, you know, financial resources that were illegally, unlawfully gained, ill-gotten gains. And then you have the audacity, the sheer temerity to say, well, hey, we promoted you in your book. Then I told you about the religious group, the Southwest Radio Church, that owed him $8,000 when I first met him. I said, $8,000? How did this happen? He said, well, they keep saying they're going to pay me, but I don't want to, you know, I'm not that type of guy. I don't put pressure on them like that. I fight against the government, but he said, I'm just used to patriots stealing from me. I said, Eustace, as long as I'm alive, it's not going to happen. And I called them every single day, and I told them that, you know, I was going to expose them, and I would oppose them every single day till that man got his money. And I said, all these broadcasts you're doing on shortwave radio and all this other stuff and saying you're a freedom loving and patriot and Christian. Well, it only took about a month, but I hammered him every day and he got his $8,000. He said, I can't believe it. He said, you don't know how. I said, I can now publish my next book. I said, well, there you go. I never asked Eustace Mullins for a dime. Now, he was charitable in the sense that a man of his caliber didn't require expensive hotels. He didn't require, you know, the fanciest, hotels and honorariums. And, you know, I mean, he just was a humble man that just said, I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission to save America from the Rothschild Rockefeller dynasty. You know, I want to oppose and expose this world order, the planetary plutocrats. Yeah, the titans, the tycoons, the tyrants. He knew that we were so close to being really having an iron curtain come down on America, and it was for the works of Eustace Mullins and recruiting people like myself indirectly. That there's so many legitimate freedom lovers and patriots in the fight. And that's why the Bogue Rights candidacy that we worked with so hard in 1991 and other independent candidates and we made a difference. And we're still making a difference. Now, I remember when Ron Paul was running for Libertarian candidate for president, and I believe he was at that same meeting with us. He just came up from Houston. And so Ron had a chance to spend some time with Eustace Mullins as well. And they talked about, of course, economics and the Fed. And so Eustace Mullins, when you think about Ron Paul and auditing the Fed and all this would not have happened if it wasn't for Eustace Mullins. Anything that changes, the awareness level now is that they say 75 or 80% of the American public now knows that the Federal Reserve is private. Now, in the 1980s, you'd be lucky 1% knew. There was a poll, and I have that up at freethinkerradio.com. There's a 79% of the American populace wants at minimum an audit of the Federal Reserve System. 79%. Well, the other 21% include Rush Limbaugh and everybody that's involved in covering up the corporatization of America, the corporate oligarchy. I remember the day that Rush Limbaugh, when I was doing a local program in Idaho, and he didn't realize he was on the air. It wasn't as big then, 200, 250 stations. And he says to his producer, he says, don't you ever let a phone call come on there talking about the Trilateral Commission or conspiracy or New World Order. Yeah, Rush Limbaugh. And he never will. He's got two sets of screeners, and he will not allow a conversation. Just like mainstream Mike Savage. He said, oh, I leave the conversation about Bilderbergs up to those people on the shortwave or the internet. You do the light lifting, we'll do the heavy lifting. Because Eustace Mullins, for more than six decades, that's right, more than six decades, this patriot gave every single minute, every single second, really, of his existence into opposing and exposing these global tyrants. Now, you can go to Wikipedia. Just type in Google. Google uses Mullen's name. Matter of fact, if you go to our website, freethinkerradio.com, make sure you click on the banner energywave.com, and hopefully you'll at least at minimum look into Green Turtle Bay Vitamin Company, energywave.com. Click on the banner there. But when you go below the banner, you're going to see everything is categorized and alphabetized. So when you go below, you scroll down, you're going to go past, the health section. And I mentioned that banner, which is up. Then you have liberty and law. Then, of course, you have the media. And you have money. So there's a lot of money. If you want to know more about the Federal Reserve and why Eustace Mullins was so vociferous and so tenacious, and that was the centerpiece of his research, the Federal Reserve, and Ezra Pound as well, we'll find out more by clicking on those links. And, of course, we have politics and U.S. government. But what I'm leading to is you have to scroll way down. But under videos, of course, yes, we have Lou Dobbs, who says, hell yes, I'm changing my tune. So you can see Lou Dobbs and Trader Dobbs, I should say. I apologize for that. And we've got a lot on Ron Paul. But then we have videos. Oh, you can see George Bush ushering in the New World Order. So right below that, you have Eustace Mullins. And if you click on Eustace Mullins, it'll lead you to all those links and all those videos of his teachings and his interviews. So just go under our video section and click on Eustace Mullins to find out more. And, of course, we have links to other fine individuals, and you can check that out for yourself. Well, I'm celebrating the fact that I know that Eustace is in a better place, and he's being rewarded by our Maker. I'm saddened that I didn't have the opportunity, or maybe I should have worked harder to have that opportunity and should have searched harder and longer to have had Eustace Mullins back on the air one more time. But my friend, my mentor, my colleague, my hero, Eustace Mullins, at least from a personal perspective, sadly, has departed. And he'll be ever missed. And he'll always be in my heart, in my spirit, in my thoughts. I have such incredible memories of my time with Eustace Mullins. Matter of fact, I think I'm going to probably have to write a minimum article, but maybe that's going to be part of my book, because we spent so much time together, and I think I know Eustace Mullins better than anybody. We're talking private moments and thoughts and things that I'm not quite sure he shared with others. And, if I feel it's too private, I certainly wouldn't share that. But I got to know him as the person and the man, as well as, of course, the researcher and the scholar and the historian. And he was always very frank with me. Matter of fact, there were times we met up in Los Angeles at certain conferences. I remember taking him to KFI Studios to make sure he was on a big radio program there with Joe Crummy in L.A. But Eustace Mullins, until I brought him out and to the interviews in 1986, he hadn't been on any interviews. Talk about a media blackout and blackballing. He just thought that he would just write his articles, his books, and that would be it. Well, I'm glad at least in part I played a role in bringing him out of retirement. Well, not retirement, but more being a recluse. So there was no more Groundhog Day for him. I mean, it was time for him to come out and stay out and hit the road and travel and meet and greet. So now we have thousands of hours on audio and video throughout the great United States. And, well, they loved him in Canada, too. Now, we'll do sometime a best of and a rebroadcast of this program. But this is my tribute to my friend, to my colleague, to my mentor, to my hero, Eustace Mullins. And I hope that you feel the same. And if you don't know enough about this, or you're new to the conspiratorial view of history, the conspiratorial facts of history, and to the Federal Reserve and the world order and global government and the opposing and exposing it, well, it's time to get down to business, get ready to divulge, I mean, to actually immerse yourself in this information. And then, of course, you know, divulge this information, share this, disperse, dispense this information to your friends, to your family, to your colleagues. Eustace Mullins was a one-man wrecking crew on the Federal Reserve. And there would not even be calls for the audit of the Federal Reserve today if there wasn't a Eustace Mullins. Goodbye, my friend. Goodbye, my mentor. And goodbye, my hero. Eustace Mullins, the author of Secrets of the Federal Reserve and the World Order. May God bless him and his soul. Till we meet again, Tom Donahue. Visit us at freethinkerradio.com to learn more. Till we meet again, may you have a blessed night.